Sunday. How many of you know what next Sunday is? Easter. Some of you are really excited about that too. It's Easter Sunday. Amen. The reason you're a Christian, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I hope you are planning on a wonderful celebration of the resurrected King. Be here. We're going to be preaching a message concerning that. Today, if you have your Bibles, you'll turn to Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22. Didn't bring my glasses in, but I've got it here. Ezekiel 22. Hallelujah. Ezekiel chapter 22. We're going to start down about verse 23 when I start. So good to see you in the house of the Lord today. The Lord put this on my heart a few days ago, and so I want to preach to you on this topic. Who will stand in the gap? Who will stand in the gap? You've probably heard a lot of messages on this, and I too have heard some, several. But I was at a funeral this week, and I heard the pastor, the preacher at my aunt's funeral make reference to stand in the gap, that my aunt stood in the gap and began to list people and things, people that she stood in the gap for. And it just really resonated in my spirit, who is standing in the gap. Now, I was raised on a farm, and we had cows, and my dad was a farmer and a rancher as well. We always had cows, and so there was this thing called a gap. Now, we were so poor, we didn't call it a gate. It was just a gap, okay? I mean, it wasn't a metal thing. It was a thing that you took four or five pieces of barbed wire, and you stretched to the other gate and made it really tight so that, you know, young people couldn't open the gate, and you put a little post in the middle. That's called a gap. These metal things, they're called gates. That's uptown. I mean, you had money if you had a gate. We had gaps. And so in this gap, when you unleashed this thing and you laid it to the side, there was a hole in the fence. And this hole was for several reasons, for you to drive through or push cattle through or take something in or out. So in this gap, there was a purpose for the gap. One purpose was to keep something in. The other purpose was to keep something out. And it always seemed to fall to my lot that it was my job to stand in the gap as a young boy when my dad wanted to drive the most ornery cows through the gate. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I'm not the dullest either. And you would stand in about a 10, 12-foot gap with your hands like this, and because there was a few cows, Dad wanted to go into that pasture or in that way, and the rest he wanted to stay over in this pen. And he thought somewhere in his mind that I was the best gatekeeper. So I stood there like this, and when these cows were coming at you, you know, we're not talking about one or two. Well, he had several, but probably 20, we'll say 20 cows. And my dad says, "Now don't let the black one out, but let the brown ones out." Problem is, there was 10 black ones and 10 brown ones, and I didn't know which black one he wanted to get out or in. And he'd say, "You know, the one with the white on her hoof." And I'm thinking, we're looking at hooves. We're trying to figure out which cow is he talking about. But when these cows got closer, you know what I did? They come at me and they would come, and I'm thinking, "Oh, okay, I just get out of the way. Let them all go through." Then Dad would be upset. And I'm thinking, probably been better to be run over by the cattle than it would to get a whooping by Dad. But my job was to stand in the gap and let some out, keep some in. That's what I want to talk to you about today. The Bible talks about a gap. The gap that you are supposed to stand in, that I'm supposed to stand in. A gap, a place, an opening that we're supposed to stand in that place for someone. So I want to read to you in Ezekiel chapter 22. Ezekiel chapter 22, starting at verse 23. Ezekiel 22, starting at verse 23. This is regarding the sins of Israel's leaders. And this is what the word of the Lord came to Ezekiel saying this day. It says, and again a message came, and I'm reading today from the NLT, the new, New Living Translation. Went right off of me. And again a message came to me from the Lord, saying, son of man, give the people of Israel this message. In the day of my indignation, you will be like a polluted land and without... A polluted land and a land without rain. Now what he's saying is when I've had enough, I've had enough. This indignation, when I get to the point that I'm done, I'm done. And that's what he's saying. You're going to get to this day. If you'll stay with me and kind of track with me just a little bit, I'm going to interject some things in today's message. But if you're watching any kind of news, you know that we've got to be getting close to God's indignation in this country. You know that God's getting fed up with some stuff that's going on from our leaders in our countries, in our communities. This stuff that God hates and despises and he calls an abomination, guess what? That doesn't escape God's eye. It doesn't escape his ear. He sees what's going on and what we're allowing to happen in America. He sees and he understands. He's not winking at what's going on inside the church house. That's what he's talking to the leaders of Israel about. And let me tell you that he's not turning a deaf ear or a blind eye to those that are in the family. He's calling us to stand in the gap today. Next verse, verse 25. Says, your princes plot conspiracies just as lions stalk their prey. That word princes means prophets or preachers or priest. Do you know I'm your preacher? I could be put right in there. Do you know that you're the priest of your home? You could be put right in this paragraph right here, right in this scripture. He says, they plot conspiracies just as lions stalk their prey. They devour innocent people, seizing treasures and extorting wealth. They make many widows in the land. Next verse. Your priests have violated my instructions and defiled my holy things. They make no distinction between what is holy and what is unholy. And they do not teach my people the difference between what is ceremonially clean and what is unclean. They disregard my Sabbath days so that I am dishonored among them. Man, I could preach here for a month of Sundays right here. We have dishonored things. We've taken what supposedly was holy and made it unholy. We've taken the clean things of God and distorted them and made those things unclean. We disregard the Sabbaths of God, the day that is set aside to honor him. It's more than a Sunday, church. It is more than just saying, well, that's when they go to church. It is a day that we honor God. It is a Sabbath day that we set aside so that we can worship the one and true living God. And he says, you've tainted it. You've made it as another day. It's just another work day. It's just another day that you go through life. It's another free day that you get to plan whatever you want to do, and I'm nowhere in it. And God says, you've taken these holy things. This is the priest. This is the people, the instructor. He says that these priests have allowed this to go on. That our priests have allowed sin to sit and seep into our church pews and to seep into our on our platforms and to seep into our teachers and to seep into the government of the church. We've allowed sin to come in, and when sin comes in, sin breeds. Sin's like a cancer, and it begins to run through. And next thing you know, guess what? You've taken the holy things that God said these are mine and they're holy. And all of a sudden, sin begins to creep in. And the cancer of sin begins to take that it's holy and becomes unholy. Who'll stand in the gap? Who stands in the gap? Next verse. Your leaders are like wolves who tear apart their victims. They actually destroy people's lives for money. This right here is why I hate prosperity preachers. Because the Bible says that it's wrong. There's nothing wrong with you having things and wealth. But they've just extorted people for their money. And it's wrong. And God says it's unclean and it's unholy. Next verse. And your prophets cover up for them by announcing false visions and making lying predictions. And they say, my message is from the sovereign Lord, when the Lord hasn't spoken a single word to them. Next verse. Even common people oppress the poor, rob the needy, and deprive foreigners of justice. And I looked. This is what the Lord says. And I looked for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness. I'm telling you today, there's a call that's going out to every ear that is in this building that is saying, I'm sending out a call of who's going to rebuild the righteousness. Don't look to your left and don't look to your right to say, I think I can help them rebuild righteousness. The Bible says, the word of the Lord would say to me, stand in front of your mirror, Marty. And call upon you to rebuild righteousness in your life. It starts with each one of us. It starts with you in your home. Will you stand in the gap for your home, for your children? The Bible says, let's go back to that verse one more time, verse 30. And I look for someone who might rebuild the wall of righteousness that guards the land. Do you know that this property, this building, your faith is referred to as the land. You are to guard your property, your land. What God has given to you as a gift, you should guard it. And at all cost, you should protect this thing God's given you. It says, and I search for someone to stand in the gap. This is God Almighty talking to the children of Israel, his chosen people. And he said, I'm searching for someone to stand in the gap. Don't you remember what I did for you? I'm searching. He says, and I searched for someone to stand in the gap in the wall so I wouldn't have to destroy the land. If you're wondering what's coming up on this earth because of sin, if you're wondering what's going to happen to America, if you think the next president is going to pull us out of this mess, if you think the next Congress, the next Senate, the next House of Representatives that voted in is going to help us, I'm here to tell you that you're wrong. God's going to destroy the land because we have leaned too far to the left. And when I say left, I'm not being political. I mean to sin. We've allowed sin to come into our houses, into our homes, into our churches, where we've got church pastors standing up promoting homosexuality and promoting abortion and promoting fornication and promoting shacking up. And we say, oh, he's a man of God. He must be right. And the Bible says, I look for a man. I look for someone to stand in the gap in the wall. And this is what he said, so that I wouldn't have to destroy the land. He's going to destroy what you know as America. It's not going to last forever. You better get right. Better be right. Stay right. He says, but I found no one. How do you think that made God Almighty feel? He delivered the children of Israel, gave Abraham a promise that extended from Abraham all the way down to you and I today, and even further if he should tarry, to hold righteousness time and time again in the Old Testament as he was leading the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. He would say, be sure and keep my commandments. Be sure and teach them to your children. Put them as frontlets between your eyes. Be sure and make them a memorial so that when you talk to your kids, you can tell them about the goodness of God. You can tell them how God led you out of your bondage. Somewhere between there and Ezekiel's time, guess what happened? The children of Israel had forgotten God's ways. Somewhere between Abraham and the deliverance of Exodus to Ezekiel, the children of Israel had forgotten God was a holy God. And they took the things that they wanted to call holy and put them in the house of the Lord and said, this is holy because we had a church vote on it. I'm here to tell you today, no church vote trumps what God's word says. No church vote will take this word while I'm here in this house and say, we're going to take the unholy things and make them holy. There's things that I have to do here. There's things that you have to do in your house that are not going to be popular. You're going to have to start standing in the gap for your kids and say, we're not going to allow that in the home. But until you do, you can say you're holy. You can say things are holy. But if it doesn't line up with God's word, it is not holy. It is unholy. And God is looking for somebody to stand in the gap. Who will that be today? Will it be you? It'll have to be you in your home. It can't be me. Well, I'm standing in the gap for you when it relates to this congregation. But when it comes under your roof, mamas and daddies, you better start learning how to stand in the gap. Verse 31. So now I will pour out my fury on them. I do not know what God's fury looks like. I do, however, know what his grace and his mercy looks like and feels like. I have walked in that mercy and I've walked in that grace. And if it's anything comparable, and I'm sure it is, because equal to his mercy and equal to his grace would be the equality of his fury poured out upon sin that he hates. Says, I will pour out my fury on them, consuming them with fire of my anger. I will heap on their heads the full penalty of all their sins. I, the sovereign Lord, have spoken. This is not an opinion piece today, church. This is not something that makes you feel good. This is something I want you to get because you are called to stand in the gap. It's you and I as Christian people, we're called to stand in the gap. Because there's a place that allows sin to come in to our lives. We all have those little gates in our lives. And you better start knowing what gate, what's coming through what gate in your life. And you better start standing in the gate saying, I won't allow that. I won't allow that to enter into my mind. I won't allow that thought to take root in my spirit. And until we get serious, till you have a righteous, holy experience with God. That's what it took for the children of Israel. It took them being scattered. Took them being a desolate place in bondage again. For them to come to say, I'll stand in the gap. We have the word of God today. And I've read through this thing, and this is what I know. You and I have the opportunity to stand in the gap before it gets too far. Before your children go too far. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "And I urge you, first of all," when? First of all. Not when things get bad, but in the beginning, first of all. First. I urge you, first of all, pray for all people. Ask God to help them. Watch this word. Intercede on their behalf and give thanks for them. You are to be an interceder. An interceder is someone who stands in the gap. An interceder is one who says, "I'll take up and pray for you. I'll pray for my kids." And it's much more, church, than praying for your children. You have to put some things into play that seem unspiritual, but they're very spiritual. You have to put things in place in your family, in your life, that says, "We're not going to do that." That doesn't seem very kind and very nice. Ask both of my children. Jeremy asked them after church. I never tried to be their friend when I was being their father. I wasn't called to be their friend. I was called to be their mentor. I was called to set down an example. I was called to stand in the gap. Now I can be somewhat of their friend, but I'm still their father, and I still give them guidance because God called me to be the priest of my home. Sometimes you got to do things that break your heart. But it's not about your heart. It's about their spiritual well-being. It's about, are you willing to stand in the gap? Because the choices that we make here have eternal consequences, church. I don't think most of us even understand or even conceive the reality of death. We think we're just going to live along here and everything's going to be fine and we're never going to die and everything's going to be fine and we'll cross that bridge when we get there. I'm here to tell you, you're there. You don't know it. But you don't know if you've got tomorrow. You don't know if you've got the next breath. You may have another 40 years should the Lord tarry. You may have another 50 or 60 years should he tarry. But you might not be able to make it out of this church service today. It's time that the church of the living God stand up and say, "I'm going to stand in the gap for my family. I'm going to stand in the gap for righteousness. I'm going to stand in the gap no matter what comes down, and I'm going to be here until God tells me to move." Praise God. Verse 2. Paul urges Timothy to pray this way. He says, pray this way for kings and all of those who are in authority so that we can live peacefully and quiet lives marked by godliness and dignity. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior. What is good? That you intercede for people, that you pray for those in authority, that you stand in the gap. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. That means if that word is not a lie, and it is not, that means that there's hope for every living soul as long as the church is standing in the gap. As long as moms and dads and grandmas are standing in the gap, there's hope for our sons and our daughters. There's hope for our grandchildren as long as we stand in the gap. Because it's God's will that you be saved, and it pleases him that you stand in the gap. It pleases God that we stand and say, "I will stand in the gap. I will link arms with my brothers and my sisters. I'll link arms with my wife, my husband, my children, and I'll stand in the gap. I'll stand in the gap." Who's standing in the gap in your house? Who's standing in the gap in your house? It's a real question that should be answered today. Who's standing in that gap? For there is only, verse 5, there is only one God, one mediator. Lee, if you'll come to the piano, if I can get every class, every teacher in every class in this building, from the children's church, everywhere. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He is a mediator that has stood in the gap between heaven and between earthly humanity and said, I'll stand in the gap. Come on, no better way than to honor Passion Week, the Holy Week, than to say, God, who stood in this gap, today we're going to take up where you left, and we're going to stand in the gap for our families. Salvation has already been granted to you. Salvation is a sure thing if you confess, believe, repent, and go after God. It is for you. Salvation is for you. When are we going to stand in the gap? He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. That's what Scripture says. He gave his life. What did he do? He stood in that gap that you and I could not bridge, that humanity could not cross over into heaven without a sacrificial lamb named Jesus Christ. He stood in the gap. He hung on a cross. So that you and I could walk freely through a gate called eternity in heaven. He bridged the gap. He now sits at the right hand of the Father, making this gift available to all who choose, all who would ask. Yet, in our families, in our homes, we've made that of no value. God is not that important till you die. He may not seem that important. Jesus may not seem that important right now, but I'm telling you, he's as important right now as he's going to be when you get to heaven. When you get there, hear me out. Some of you may or may not know this, but when you get to heaven, that's not when you repent. That's not when you get right. It's too late then. You get right now. You fall in love with Jesus now. You give your heart to Jesus Christ now. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. Watch this. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. You're here today because it's the right time if you don't know Jesus. You're here today because it's the right time if you hadn't been standing in the gap. You're here today because God appointed this time for you to hear this message today. It is time for you to stand in the gap. It's time. Honey, it's all right. I ain't worried about the kids. There'll be a lot more screaming, a lot more hollering because we didn't stand in the gap for our kids. The Lord comes back today. Some of you don't even know that there's a gap in your life. I'm not here to beat you up and condemn you. I'm here to tell you, as Ezekiel would say, there's a gap and we got to stand in it. There's a gap that only person that can fill it is you, mama and daddy and grandma and grandpa, deacons, elders of the church. It's us. Who's going to stand in the gap, church? Who's going to stand in this gap? Let me tell you how this thing's been going so far. Are you ready? Buckle up. Divorce rate in the church is equal to that outside the church. Somebody's not standing in the gap. Fornicating is normalized. Somebody's not standing in the gap. Teenage pregnancy is on a rise. Somebody's not standing in the gap, church. Broken homes, they're normalized. It's normal. We have classes in schools, and psychology says when your parents divorce, it's okay. It's normal. It is not normal. It is only normal because somebody is not standing in the gaps. When are we going to stand in the gaps for our families? I know it's hard. I know it's tough. I'm married too. We don't get along like two peas in a pod all the time, Jeremy. We argue and fuss like you do. But I stand in the gap. And when I let down my guard, my wife steps in the gap and takes over where I lack. It is time that we stand in the gap. Who's going to stand in the gap? Who's going to stand in the gap? Nobody's standing in the gap. Pastor, I think you're wrong. We'll disprove the statistics that you can go onto any website and find out that there's more broken homes, there's more kids suicide, there's more fentanyl right now than any time in America. There's more kids on drugs, smoking weed and vaping than any time in America. Right now, right in the church house. Don't tell me that it's an opinion piece. I can look around in the church and I see a decline. Statistics after statistic says that the church is on decline. Why is that? It's not because somebody's standing in the gap. It is because nobody's standing in the gap. It is because we say we're doing one thing, but we're really not. You can tell me whatever you want to. You can tell me you're standing in the gap. But when tough times come, what do? Do you do like me when I was young? I got out of the way and let them on through. It's just too tough, Pastor. You don't know what it's like raising teenagers. I'm not that old. But I know one thing. My mama raised three boys and a girl. I'm 55. I raised a boy and a girl 30-something years later. The same things that worked then work now. The same gap that she had to stand in for her boys and her daughter work today. That same thing that I saw my mama do when times got tough, when she would pray and when my dad would pray and say, son, we're not going to do that in this house. I've done those very things in my house because I stood in the gap because I had an example. If you were to die today, moms and dads, what example would you leave to your children? Would they know to stand in the gap no matter what comes down the pipe? Or when things get tough, would they just step out of the way and say, come on in, it ain't worth it. It's time, church. It's time that the church of the living God stand up and say, I'll stand in the gap. I'll stand in the gap. So what we're fixing to do is we're going to stand in the gap. Some of you don't know this. But your teachers stand in the gap for your babies every Sunday and every Wednesday. And then we turn them over to you. Do not say, I used to have an anger problem in Jesus' name, and he's delivered me, Jeremy, for the most part. But one thing that works me up is when someone says in the church just didn't have what my kids needed. No, friend, I'm here to tell you what they lacked was somebody standing at the gap at your house. What they lacked was a mother and a father standing up and saying, we're not going to do this. We can't do this. We can't allow it because we're not going to let unholy things become holy in our house, and we're not going to let holy things become unholy. It is not the church's responsibility. It is not these teachers' responsibility to take your kids from heathenism to heaven in 2 hours a week. If you show up all those times, I love you. I'm not beating you up. I'm telling you, we got souls at stake in this house. And if we don't stand in the gap, you can say your little child's a little angel from heaven. But I'm telling you what, if he don't get his heart or her heart right with the Lord Jesus Christ, when they become to get to that age of accountability, they'll bust hell wide open and you sitting on the church pew. Doesn't matter what you think. It matters what this word says. And we better start standing in the gap. Let's disprove some statistics. Proof's in the pudding. There's more people in a little old community right out here. Lake Village of 2,823 people. There's more that's not in church, just in town, than all the churches combined in Chico County today. There's about 1,500, we estimate, that go to church on any given Sunday in Chico County. There's 11,000 people in the community, in the county, roughly. Tell me somebody's standing in the gap. And I'd have to tell you that is not true. I want all the children, I want, if I can get the teachers with your particular class, just kind of group up here. Guys, can I get this moved? We may have to move some stuff back. It is absolutely okay. If I can just group my classes, it doesn't matter where you stand, just group some classes. Hallelujah. Come on, church. We're going to stand in the gap for some people today, for these babies. I'm going to show you how to stand in the gap at your house. I need everybody in the balcony to be making your way down here. Everybody in the balcony, please. Please just come down, get right back here in the back. Just come on down, give you plenty of time. If you help teach, or a teacher, youth pastor, children's pastor, and you're not up here, I need you up here as that representative. If there's youth, I need, there you come. Any of my youth up here, any youth, I want you to come. Let's just stand right in here. Hey, y'all come around this, let's move around this way. Let's come this way some. We need to spread out a little bit. We got to get people around you. Come on. Come on around. Just kind of stay together. Come on this way in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Youth, if you can come on up here, youth. I need you over here by your youth pastor. If you're a teacher, I need you to come. Come on up here and get right up here. Wherever you might, just kind of fit in there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If you're a teacher up here at the front, you help it anyway. Just the teachers right now, or leaders, whatever. I want you to raise your hand up so we can see who you're. Raise it up high so we can see you. You see the hands that are here. These are teachers. These are leaders that stand in the gap. You can put your hands down. They stand in the gap on any given Wednesday or Sunday for your children. For your children. For our children. For your grandchildren. Pastor, I stand in the gap. How many times this week have you prayed for any one of these? How many have you lifted up teachers that are teaching your kids? How many times this week? Don't answer. I'm just wanting to prove a point that we're not standing in the gap like we should. How many of you prayed for these children this week? How many stood in the gap? As a statistic, our kids are viewing pornography and getting hooked on drugs and alcohol at the earliest age ever in American history. You can attest to that, I'm sure, things that you see. He's an alcohol, drug, task force, all that. What is your title? Alcohol and tobacco, right here. sitting in your church. He knows. I want us to pray for our teachers first. And then we're going to pray for these children. And then mamas and daddies, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to give you an example if you'll just listen. I'm going to give you an example on how to stand in the gap. It's not hard. It's not hard. You just got to begin to pray for your kids, for those that are under you, in you. You just pray, and you stand in the gap. And when the enemy comes, you keep standing in the gap. And when he ramps up his forces, you keep standing in the gap. So let's pray. I need some folks that's going to help. It's all right. Look, I am not interested. Look, it's okay. Let them cry. It's all right. Hey, go to Meemaw. He can go to Meemaw. It's okay. It's all right. We got all worried and say, preacher, oh, they're crying. I don't care. They cry at my house too. It's okay. Babies cry. They want mamas and daddies. Little Ben's sweet feller. He's okay. Amen? Come on, let's pray. I need to get some folks. Can you come up here and help me? I want my teachers kind of just, I know it's tough. I want you just kind of step up front just a little bit so we can see who you are. Just, it's all right. If the kids bump you in the knee, it's okay. Y'all worried about stuff. Don't be worried. I see it on the front. Nick, they just worry, these kids. It's all right, ain't it? Amen. If you get bumped in the knee, that's the best thing. Y'all come up here. Y'all come on in. All my teachers, if you will, just will you just grab hands with each other right across here? Just all my teachers. That'll make a fence for these children too. Amen. Come on, we're going to pray for our leaders. I want you reaching your hands this way. Come on, church. Put your hands out this way and let's begin to pray for our leaders. Look at someone across from you. Begin to call out their name. Begin to call out their name. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you see every teacher that stands in the gap, Lord, in this church, every week, Lord, every week, God. Lord, you see, God. Woo. Lord, you see the hearts of these teachers, Lord, standing in the gaps, Lord. Lord, of these children, Father. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, you'd give them strength and you'd give them tenacity. Lord, you'd give them encouragement. Lord, when things are not encouraging, Lord, when these things go rough and they go wrong, God, Lord, and they feel like, God, that they're not doing a good job, I pray in the name of Jesus that you'd give them strength, God. Lord, that you'd undergird them, Lord, with fresh wind and fresh fire and fresh anointing, God. Lord, that you would move mightily in their families, God. Lord, as they stand in the gap for these children, Lord, as they call out the names of their children they're going to be teaching on any given week, God. Oh, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, you'd give us strength, Lord. Lord, standing in the gap for these babies, God. Lord, we don't want one of these babies to go to hell. We don't want one of these children, God. Oh, God, not one, Father. Lord, to even peer at the gate of hell, God. Lord, we're standing in the gap, God. Oh, standing in the gap, Lord, of all of these children here today, of our youth today, God. Lord, it may seem tough and difficult, but God, we are standing in this gap, God. Lord, we're not going to let the enemy pass through, God. We'll stand in the gap, God. We're going to stand in this gap, God, no matter what it looks like. No matter if it looks like the enemy's coming full force, God, we're going to stand in the gap. We're going to stand in the gap. Now, teachers, if you'll just begin to lay your hands on your children, just begin to turn around right now and begin to lay your hands on your children. That's in your class. Father, in the name of Jesus, come on, lay hands on them. Fonda, lay hands on them. Lay hands on them. Nicole, lay hands on them. Let's lay hands on these babies. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I pray right now, Father, Lord, that you keep them, Lord. God, you've delivered these kids to us, God, Lord, for a season. And God, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, that they would hear something in one of our classes. Lord, that they hear, God, a voice from one of our teachers, God. Lord, that's been standing in the gap for them, God. Lord, that's under the anointing of the Holy Ghost as they begin to teach them in the classes, Lord. As they begin to pray for them, God. Lord, as they begin to teach these children, God. Oh, I pray in the name of Jesus, God, not a one slips out of our hands. God, not a one slips through the gate, God. Not a one stands and gets by us in that gap, God, because we're standing in the gap and we're going to be immovable, God. Life is not going to take us so far, God, that we get off track, God. Oh, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, in the mighty name of Jesus, God. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, raise him up to be a fine young man. Raise him up to be a follower of Christ right now, Lord. Oh, God, I pray in the name of Jesus. Oh, God. Lord, not his circumstances, Lord, but God, what you call him to be, God. Oh, Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, God. Lord, raise him up to be a man of God. Raise her up to be a woman and a man of God right here, Father, Lord. Father, I pray as we stand in the gap, God, today, God, do a new thing, God, do a fresh work and an anointing, God, in their lives, an anointing, God, Lord, an influence right now, Father. We stand in the gap for our babies today, God, for our babies today, God. We stand in the gap for our young men and our young women today, God. Stand in the gap, God. Oh, God, we thank you, God. Father, we thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now, here's what we're going to do. If I can just kind of trade places with some of you teachers, you've already been praying. I want the rest of my thank you. I want the rest of you can just kind of swap places. I want my parents to come up here. If you hadn't been up here, I want you to come up here, please. Hallelujah. Come on, let's just swap places. We're fixing to close. Y'all don't even have to go back to class. We're going to close in just a minute. Unless the Holy Ghost breaks out and delivers us all. Amen. Come on, if you weren't up here, I want you to go. Go ahead, kids, go into the back. And we're going to swap places. We're just going to swap places. Parents, I need you to come up here. If you weren't up here, come on, if you weren't up here, I need you to come. Parents, grandparents, if your kids aren't here, I want you to come. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. In Jesus' name, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, in the name of Jesus. Come on, Kim. Come on up here. You got grandbabies. Come on. Come on, y'all. Come on. Lord Jesus, help us. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, help us, Jesus. Lord, let your anointing fall in this place, God. Hallelujah. Thank we worship. Can we just take a minute and worship him? Just stick your hands up all over this building. Just begin to worship him. Father, I thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you, Jesus. Lord, we worship you, God. Lord, we praise you, God. Lord, we magnify your name, God. Lord, you are worthy, God. Lord, you are worthy, God. Lord, we come today, God. Lord, we're positioning ourselves in the gap. Lord, we're positioning ourselves in the gap today, God. Lord, in the gap today, God. Lord, we stand in the gap for our grandbabies, that they'll refrain from immoral activity on dates on Friday and Saturday night. Lord, we stand in that gap. We stand in the gap that we'll raise up in this house morally clean young ladies and young men, that we'll set forth young men and young ladies that are sexually pure and clean before a holy God, that when they get married, they've saved themselves for their spouse that you have chosen. Lord, we're praying right now in the gap. We're standing in the gap for our children, for our young men and our young women. Lord, we're standing in the gap for these young men and young women. Lord, that they won't get caught up in drugs. They won't get caught up in addictions. On Wednesday night, we'll have 30 men that's going to come into this house and going to say, if you just stand in the gap, if you just stand in the gap, mamas and daddies, if you just stand in the gap, your kids won't be addicted to stuff. If you'll stand in the gap, stand in the gap. Mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas at this altar, I want you to begin this prayer. Lord, I want to stand in the gap. You say it ever how you want to, but it's something like it. Lord, I'm going to stand in the gap for my children. I'm going to stand in the gap for my grandchildren. I'm going to stand in the gap for those that have been under my care. Maybe they're not your grandchildren. Maybe they're not biologically yours in a sense, but you've taken them as a mentor and you're teaching them. If that's you, I want you to stand in the gap. Ask God to give you the strength to stand in the gap today. God, you said you was looking for somebody. Lord, at LVA Church, here at this church, God, every mother, every father, every grandmother, every grandfather, Lord, today we declare we're going to stand in the gap for our babies. We're going to stand in the gap, mamas and daddies. We're going to stand in the gap for our marriage. We're going to stand in the gap for our spouse. We're going to stand in that gap. We're going to take the blame when it's not your blame. We're going to smile. We're going to put Jesus on them. We're going to love them. No matter if it's going right, no matter if it was you at fault, we're going to love on them. Love on your spouse. Stand in the gap. Stop the divorce rate in the church. Stop the divorce rate in the church. Stop the divorce rate in the church. Stop the addictions in the church. Stop the fornicating, the teenage pregnancies in the church. When we get to that church, when we get to that point, then we'll worry about going out into the world. But my God, let's start in the house of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you for standing in the gap today. Guess what? It only started today, man. It's just today. It's from now on. It's not just today. It's tomorrow. It's the next day and the next day. Stand in the gap for your children, for your grandchildren, for this church. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap. Stand in the gap for your pastor if you run out of people to stand in the gap for. Stand in the gap for your pastor. Amen. She needs it. I need to get better. Ask her. She'll say, amen. I need to get better. Stand in the gap for me. Amen. I love you. Let me bless you before we go. I'm telling you, I believe God's doing something right here in this house today. I believe God's doing some things in your lives that's challenging you to stand in the gap. Just don't let anything through the gap. He wants to go so bad. He said if that long-winded preacher would shut up, we'd go. You want to talk? You want to talk into this? I'll let you. He said, huh, I don't know about you, fella. You ain't got any hair. Amen. Let me bless you before we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that your word never gets old. It's never out of date. It's always right on time. It's always full of truth. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus as we leave this place that you would bless every mother and every father, every grandmother, every person in the sound of my voice. Lord, that you would bless them. Lord, that you would increase them, bring promotions to them, job promotions, and bring prosperity and wealth to them, Lord, that they may help build the kingdom of God. Lord, let favor be upon each one of us. Let your face shine upon us, according to Numbers chapter 6. Let your face shine upon us. Let us find favor with you. And Lord, I pray that sweet sleep would come to each of us today. That rest for our physical bodies. That we would not grow weary in doing good. We ask these things in the name of Jesus. And everyone says, amen and amen.